This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to another Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. It's another beautiful day in Bradford. And, well, good morning, and how are you?
Good.
All right. Now, you had a question. One of your friends was asking you. Go ahead. You have.
Yeah. He was asking me about a plant problem. They turned out they were arborvitae that he had planted 20 years ago, but they're getting a lot of brown in them now.
Now, the arborvitae are the... That's what I have, right?
Yes.
The shrubs, bushes, whatever.
Yeah, and yeah, that grow taller than they are wide, and they're evergreen, so they keep green all year round. They're one of the more popular shrubs this time of year, especially for windbreaks or privacy screen.
And he was having a problem?
Problem, yeah. He's getting brown in them all on one side. And so I said, the first thing you should do is the white paper trick. You put a sheet of white paper under the foliage, tap vigorously on the foliage over the top of that white paper. It'll dislodge any insects that will be there. And then your next step is to inspect that white paper. And a lot of those insects will be really small, only dust particle size, so that if you see dust particles moving around, then you probably have an insect problem. If there's enough of them. You know, if you have less than six or less, that's really no big problem. But if you have more than that, then it is something maybe you should address. And it may be the cause of the problem with the plant. And arborvitae, like most evergreens, are susceptible to an insect called spider mite. They are just the size of a dust particle. You really can't see them. But they have a mouth part that they pierce the leaf or the needle and suck the juices out of it. So if by close inspection, you'll see little yellow spots on the top of the leaf. But the spider mite spends most of its life underneath the leaves, so you really don't see them. They do produce a web when the population gets big enough, but most of us really don't notice a web. You know, the population has to get extreme to notice that. And most of the time, a rain will knock that spider web out, and it takes them a long time to rebuild it. So it's common among evergreens, and so some of the things you can do to correct this, and the spider mite loves hot, humid weather. So it's something that occurs this year because we've had a lot of heat and humidity. Just perfect environmental conditions for the spider mite. So what you can do is they are so small and weak that a blast from our garden hose. I always do that. If I'm out watering my garden, I even blast all my shrubs and plants, just hit them with a hard blast of water. It most of the time will knock off any kind of insect. And most insects, once they hit the ground, they just don't have enough energy to get back up to a feeding position. And that feeding position would most of the time be new growth or tender growth that they can easily feed off of. So by knocking them off, we've probably destroyed them. They're going to starve to death before they get back up to where they want to be. If that doesn't work, then there are several pesticides out there that we can use. Read the instructions, follow all the safety instructions. There's even products instead of spraying that are called systemic insecticides that we apply to the root system. The root system absorbs it, carries it up through the whole plant, and distributes it through the whole plant. So anytime an insect tries to suck the juices out of the plant, it gets a shot of that insecticide, and of course that kills it off.
Now, how long would that take to take into effect?
Okay, it depends on the size of the shrub. I'm going to say like a 4 foot tall shrub, it can take about a week for that insecticide to get up
there.
For
it to get all the way up.
Yeah.
Get ingested by the plant.
Yeah. A big tree, it can take up to a month to get all the way up, but it can be well worth it because you're not spraying, you know, because spraying can be a pretty dangerous thing, and you can be affecting a lot of other insects that you don't want to affect. You know, I don't recommend ever spraying a plant that's in flower, because you'll probably destroy pollinators also. So never spray a flowering plant that's in flower. But the systemic ones that you water in, they're a whole lot safer. You're not going to get any on you. Most of the insects are not going to be affected by it, only the ones that are piercing and sucking the juices out of that plant. So it makes them much safer.
Now, this is good for the guy that originally had the question about his arborvitae?
Yeah, yeah.
So those spider mites even get those?
Yes, yeah.
Whenever I think of, you know, damaged leaves on a, you know, a tree, I see it on, like, maple leaves,
okay,
for instance. Those are easy for me to spot.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just the tell is the brown, I guess, on those arborvitae.
Yeah, yeah. Brown or like I said, the little yellow spots. You really got to know your plant. If you've had it for a while, you know, if you've looked at it enough times that if all of a sudden the leaf isn't looking right, then it's a good time to do that test with a white piece of paper.
Okay. Yeah, good advice. Because I guess I haven't had them yet.
Yeah.
Knock on for Micah. So, yeah, I've never noticed anything like that on my shrubs because I have those same kind of shrubs too.
Okay. And, you know, you may have them, but there are a lot of predators out there that feed off the spider mites.
Really?
Yeah, that keep them in control. And there is just about for every bug out there. There is a predator of some sort.
I just figured they're too small for anything to enjoy them.
Oh, no. There's even smaller critters yet. you know, given time, you know, if they haven't done too much damage, my recommendation is let it go. Let the predators move in and do the job for you. It's a much, much safer, and it's a long-range operation that they'll control the population, so it won't damage the plant. A little bit of damage really isn't a big thing, you know. So try to be patient, and nature will take its course and control that pest.
Yeah, as long as you're not one of those showcase gardens, you know, that you're doing the garden tour.
Even those, though. Yeah. So that was one of them. Now, there are a lot of other things, too. I'll go to a tree here because this is near and dear to me and real popular. You know, I think everyone should plant a tree in their yard. So if you're seeing problems with your tree, especially a newly planted tree, the first thing to really check over, was it planted correctly? And at the base of the plant, you should see what we call a root flare, where the trunk of the tree comes down towards the ground and then kind of flares out a little bit. That should still be above ground. If that is below ground, probably the root system is too deep, and of course it's not going to get the oxygen it really needs in our area, so a plant can suffer that way. Sometimes they survive with no problem. Sometimes it will kill them off over the number of years. So look for that. That root flare should be above ground. Another one is mulch. I highly recommend mulching. I think it's one of the most important things a gardener can do. But around trees, people tend to just pile and mulch on year after year. And eventually, that root flare is now underground because that mulch is rotting down, becoming the soil. So that can start to affect the plant. It was doing fine for a few years. Now, all of a sudden, it's showing symptoms, you know, of problems. And it may be due to just a little bit too much mulch. Another one can be hitting the trunk of a tree or a shrub with a mower just one too many times.
Oh, yeah.
that will do them in. It injures the bark, and it opens up a wound close to the ground where many insects and bacteria and funguses can get in. And so it can affect them, and that takes years to occur. String trimmers are real famous for that. I used to see a lot of the string trimmer rims right around a tree. And of course, again, that hurts the bark, so it makes it easy for funguses and insects to get in. So it's a good idea. Don't let grass grow up close to a tree or a shrub.
How long does it take, or is it even possible? Does a tree heal itself?
Yes, trees can heal themselves, and shrubs. All plants can heal themselves.
Even the bark, if that's damaged,
even the
like
bark.
You say,
yes, yeah. So if you're not constantly hitting it with a mower or string trimmer, you're going to let it get a chance to grow new bark. The tree is producing new bark every year, and it can heal itself quite easily.
Oh, good. So just take notice if you're starting to hit your tree with the string trimmer and the mower.
You know, once in a while is probably okay.
Yeah.
But be extremely careful on those very young plants because their bark is much thinner. Another thing to look for if all of a sudden your tree or shrub isn't looking good is what we call frost cracks. And they most generally occur on the south side of a plant. That's because in the winter, that outer part is exposed to the very cold at night. So a lot of the cells freeze. And then the sun comes up and it starts to melt that side. Unthaw those cells. So they start to fill up with water again, more. And then, of course, night comes, and then they freeze. So that cell is getting pumped up with more and more water, and then that freezing occurs at night, and it can cause those cells to explode. And then eventually you'll get a crack, and it's going to be most notable through the winter, very early spring. And then as summer goes along, that crack will start to close up, but it's still there underneath that bark. That bark kind of covers it over. And again, that's where fungus and disease can get in, or even insects like to make a home inside that area. So that can start to cause a problem. And again, it can take years, but it will eventually affect the plant. So that's one thing to look at. Any newly planted tree, we want to wrap the bark, wrap the trunk with some kind of wrap. You know, they do make tree wrap. You can take just cardboard, wrap it around and secure it. You can take burlap, wrap it around. This is just for the winter, and then take it off in the spring when all the freeze-thaw is done. And that'll help protect from that freeze-thaw on those newly planted ones because their bark is pretty thin yet. Just a minute, I got a bug. Oh, there he goes.
What's that?
I had a bug right there bothering me.
Oh. There's a little gnat in the studio.
Yeah.
That's the worst. At least it's not a wasp. I've had that before.
Oh, geez. So it's a good idea, those newly planted young ones, before they develop a good thick bark, to wrap them for a few years till they can adjust to our weather conditions. Those newly planted shrubs that you think that may be affected by that freeze-thaw, we can wrap them also in burlap. I say burlap because it's real breathable. It lets air in and out. You know, don't do it with plastic because it can end up being like a greenhouse in there when the sun comes up. Everything's warm, and then the sun goes down, and it freezes. And again, you get that the exploding cells that you don't even see, but that's what happens. Mm. So those newly planted delicate shrubs, yeah, it's a good idea to just wrap them up with burlap and secure it so it doesn't get blown off through the winter. And that will help those plants until they get a couple years on them, and then they toughen up to the winter, and then they're fine forever.
Probably what you're putting in the ground anyway is for this zone. So
yeah, probably, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
Going to be hardy enough.
Yeah, should be. But sometimes, like I say, the young ones
need a little bit of help.
Yep, they can have that real thin bark and just not quite ready for Bradford weather.
Okay. Can we take a short break and come back with more? We'll thank Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. And the phone lines are open, of course. If you have a question for Bob, give us a call, 814-368-9372. We'll be back right after this on The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Still working on your summertime projects? They have a big selection of patio slabs, and prices are coming down on treated lumber. So now's the time to buy at Worth W. Smith. Still great prices on room air conditioners, too. Just arrived a new shipment of men's Carhartt clothing. And for the canning season, you'll find all sizes of canning jars and other canning supplies. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show. 75 years of serving Bradford, WESB. And we're back with more chat with Bob, the master gardener himself. Of course, the phone lines are always open. Our email is available, garden@WESB.com. And we are on Facebook Live. So you may, just post a comment on there. And if we see it, oh, there, actually, as soon as I say that, we have Peggy says that she has rose bushes that bloom all summer. When can she trim them back?
Okay, that's a good question. I would wait till after a hard frost, and then you can trim them back a little bit, taking a few inches off the top so that it protects them through the winter so ice and snow can't build up and bend the branches down and break them. Then, early spring, you can trace the because there will be some dead material in there, and it'll be a brown color rather than green. When you look at the rose bush in the spring, when growth begins, and if there's no growth on that stem and it's brown, then follow that brown all the way back down and trim it off at that area, because that is dead plant material now. And if you leave that dead plant material, it can develop a fungus that will eventually go on down to the roots and damage the whole plant. So it's kind of like two prunings. In the fall after a frost, a nice light pruning. Then in the spring, a cleanup pruning if you do have some dieback. If you don't, then most of the rose bushes, we just let them grow any amount they want to grow in this area because they never really get too large around here unless you got some of those real old-fashioned super hardy roses.
Old-fashioned super hardy.
Yeah.
All right. We also had, it went away.
Oh.
That's weird. Oh, there it is. Scott commented on here. If you do damage the bark on a young tree, what can you put around it to, make sure it heals?
Okay.
To put the bark back on it.
Good question, Scott. You do absolutely nothing. It's pretty similar to you and me. If I cut my finger and I wrap it up, I put some
Neosporin
on it and then a Band-Aid on it. It's going to heal, but it's going to heal slowly. If I let it expose to the air and keep it clean, it'll heal much quicker.
Quicker.
Is that a word?
Well, it is now. You're the master gardener.
It'll heal a lot faster.
Got it.
And trees are the same. If you can leave that wound open to the air, it will heal much quicker because it's designed to do that. It's had millions, sometimes 500 million years to develop, 500,000 years.
Yeah.
not million. To develop a system. If you cover that wound, what you can do is lock in, because you don't have any Neosporin for it or any other chemical that will help it. You can lock in a fungus that makes a great protective layer over that fungus, and it gives that fungus a chance to really penetrate the tree. So it's highly recommended, do not cover a wound. Let it air and sun heal.
Wonderful. There you go, Scott. He says, thanks. You guys are great.
You're welcome.
All right. And those were comments on our Facebook Live video, facebook.com/WESB1075. Phone lines are open. You want to do it the old-fashioned way, 814-368-9372 to talk to Bob. And what else is on your notes today?
Okay. And then a lot of us will see not just evergreens, and I'll go into leafy plants like a maple tree or a spirea shrub.
Talking about if it starts to look a little questionable,
yeah,
a little unhealthy.
I'll even name some of the more popular ones. Hydrangea has become super popular, like the arborvitae evergreen. And the hydrangea is a deciduous shrub or tree. It can be either or. And it will lose all its leaves after a frost and then regrow them again in the spring. So that's deciduous. So it can have like holes in the leaves. There are certain insects that will want to chew on the leaf. And again, as long as it hasn't damaged more than a third of the plant, you know, and you don't have to count the number of leaves out there. You can just estimate. It's around a third. If it hasn't damaged more than a third, the plant will probably take care of itself. If it becomes more than a third of the plant, half of the plant or more, then you probably better do something to help protect the plant, because the natural system has kind of broken down. It isn't doing its job. And those can be caterpillars. They can be slugs and snails. Can be even birds pecking holes in it. So it's a good idea to just pay attention. Look at that plant once in a while, even out your window, and maybe you'll be able to see what's going on. Now, the slugs and snails are going to only work at night, so you're not going to see them. So you may have to do a little night hunt, or just know that a slug or a snail is going to make a nice round hole. A caterpillar is going to make a jagged one. A bird's going to make a jagged one, too, or even take off a whole section of the leaf. So look for those, and you can treat them accordingly. Again, there's ways to get rid of the slugs by slug baits around the base of the plant. That'll destroy them, the slugs and snails. Caterpillars, sometimes it's really highly recommended, because the caterpillar will become a butterfly or a moth, and they're great pollinators.
Right.
So try to put up with some damage if you possibly can.
All right. Didn't get to the phone call quick enough. Call back.
Oops. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I was just about to prepare for it, but they didn't let it ring fast enough. So we did see the phone. So if you'd like to ask the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, a question, give us a call, 368-9372.
It just dawned on me, too. You know, one of the best ways to keep insects off your plants is to attract the birds. Birds eat a lot of insects, and they can really help control the population in your yard. That's just a little hint. So other things that you can see, and this can be quite common, like on maple trees and a few other trees, we get black spots on the leaves, and then they start to drop even when they're green. And that's usually that disease is called anthracnose. It's common in our area. It usually does not kill a plant. Most problems, insect, disease, or fungal, really don't kill a plant, but they do weaken them. And then if you add up another two or three stressors, then it can kill the plant. But most of the time, like anthracnose, the black spots, then not to be concerned. But other fungal diseases, you can just look real close at the leaf. If you have a brown spot on the leaf, and that can be all different shapes, with black dots, you have to look close, then it's a fungal disease. And, of course, there's a lot of sprays or drenches. We call them drenches that we can pour in there that the plant will absorb and fight off those funguses. Or we can just let it go. And like I said, chances are it's really not going to kill the plant. The plant will defend itself, and next year it will be a little bit stronger due to that. It'll be better prepared for that attack.
All right. Any final advice about the topic? We have about 2 or 3 minutes left in the show.
Yeah. One other thing, too. Sometimes people ask me, you know, what happened to my plant here? And I always find out that there was a little digging or excavating around the plant that may have damaged the roots or changed even underground water flow, or there may have been a cleaning operation gone around there, cleaning your deck, your house, or fencing.
Oh, so maybe the soap got in?
Yeah, so maybe some of the chemical got in there and it is affecting the plant. So just be aware of all that stuff, too, that think back through history, what has happened near that plant, and maybe that'll tell you what went wrong. And again, most of the time, they will recover the next year, especially if we give them a little extra care, that if it's hot and dry, give them a little extra watering. If they're really looking weak, maybe do a little fertilizing, too. Most of the time, you don't have to fertilize trees and shrubs and perennials, but once in a while we do, especially if there's been a little digging around that area. Maybe we've taken away a little bit of their root system and their food supply.
You know, speaking of some of the chemicals might have gotten in there, if it was from a power wash or something like
yeah.
that, is there a better time of year to do that, to yeah. do a power wash?
Spring and fall is the best time.
That way it affects it the least.
Yes. At fall, because the plant is not actively growing and absorbing a whole lot. Spring, because it is extremely actively growing and putting out a lot of new growth that you may have only damaged partial of the plant. So the new leaves will not have that damage on, and then the plant can regenerate.
Wonderful. Any final words?
No.
We covered it for this
yeah,
week.
Yeah. Again, you know, because it's been in the news a lot, the brown lawns, you know, don't be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Our lawns have gone through this many times in my lifetime. They will recover next year when it the season gets a little damper. Our lawns are a cool season crop. They like cold, damp weather. They yeah. will recover.
Yep, and we even said that last week, too. It's not dead. It's just dormant.
Yeah, just dormant.
Brown, like yep. that. Don't worry about a thing, and everything will be all looking spick and span and brand new next week or next year,
yeah,
next season. All right. And with that, we are out of time, Bob.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Of course, this will be on demand at WESB.com. It's The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thanks.